Once upon a time, there were three black women who lived in Pine Valley. One, a sexy MILF doctor who put all the others to shame. Not just with the weaves, but with her powerful vocal cords. The second, a dingbat daughter who came from nowhere. The last, a dead behind the eyes hooker. And now, they live with me. My name is Jesse.
This week on All My Children, Randy does her best Foxy Brown on Natalia as AMC once again perfectly captures the African-American dynamic.
Beaker and Junior Throwdown, and Mirabella Carey makes her debut.
Opal Channel's Haley Joel Osment again.
And my favorite lesbians keep us laughing with the witty pratfalls. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
What's so annoying for me is the premature ejaculator Chuck Pratt. I bet you anything, if you ask anybody that he's ever had sex with, they will tell you that. The man does not know how to pace himself. People, I'm feeling a little bit of a scream coming on, so turn down your damn iPods, your computers, your listening devices. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. Angie actually told Randy that the love that Randy has with Frankie reminds her of her love with Jesse. Did you want to kill somebody?
Yeah, Chuck Pratt and his writing team. When I tell him it's a better show, watch it. You know what the problem with Chuck Pratt is?
He's dumb.
No.
He's stupid.
This is.
He's an a-hole.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Oh my God, this show's so horrible right now. Oh God.
I mean, Jesse and Angie were front and center for years. That was a lot. How?
I can't. You know what? It's so stupid that I can't even get mad at this one. You gotta laugh.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is a special midweek edition of the Pine Valley Podcast, sort of for the week ending April 24th, but kind of during the week of April 27th.
Yes, we're sorry we're a little late. We're sorry. Ashley have family obligations this
family
weekend.
Family obligations.
She's Puerto Rican Latin, which is worse than being just plain Latin. Yes. She's Puerto Rican Latin. So this is like a family obligation like every other three days.
Every Puerto Rican I know was at this family obligation.
That's how big it was?
And I had a few white people friends there.
Really?
Yes.
Were they scared?
No, they were actually really nice. They were like, just a handful. And they were like, wow, your family is so warm and so loving and so vivacious. It was really funny. I was like, yeah, well, you know, that's all right. Well, my family isn't like this. It's just such a warm community. It's kind of funny.
Warm community, huh? Loud bunch of partying drunks is what
right,
they are.
That's right.
You know, it reminds me of that joke. What's that comic's name? Oh my God, Paul Rodriguez. That's the Latin comic, right?
One of them.
No, but he's the one. Like, no, I don't like George Lopez. I like Paul Rodriguez. Paul Rodriguez. I once saw him telling a joke about Spanish people, and he said, when God came down and was talking to all the races about what they wanted, he came to the Latins. He said, "What do you want to do? Do you want to rule the world, or do you want the best music and food?" And we took a second and said, we want the music and the food. And I love that because it's true. Because our people like to party, whether you're Mexicano, Dominicano, Puerto Rican, Cubano. It's all the same. All Latins. We love to party.
There's a little bit party something hard. Wrong with that logic.
What?
If you rule the world, you could probably have a pretty good shot at getting the best music and food.
No.
Yes.
No, because nothing beats arroz con gandules, penne, and totones. I'm sorry.
You got a point. Especially when my dad, especially
when Papa Hudson makes it, yes. But the only thing that comes close is I love me some Italian food. Ooh, child, please. If I was born Italian, I'd be a fat pig.
You people don't understand how addicted Puerto Ricans are to their Puerto Rican food.
Oh, I know. Are you kidding?
My neighbor, Martha, had two mini strokes, okay? Too many strokes. Temporarily lost the use of the right part of her body. And she refuses to go on a diet. She refuses to not eat steak. The doctor said, you can't eat steak. You can't eat the pork. She doesn't even eat the meat of the pork. She eats the fat part of the pork.
Oh, I love that part.
She said, what can I do? I love my pork. I can't go without my pork. I said, Martha, you had two strokes. You're going to die. She said, I don't know. What am I going to tell you? I can't go without my pork.
I'm telling you, I don't know. Like, I could never give up my Spanish food. I love my Spanish food. When I was in the hospital...
If the doctor had a death sentence on your head, you couldn't give it up?
No, no. When I was in the hospital, my dad, Papa Hudson, came in with arroz con gandule, pernil, and totone. And let me tell you something. He said, I have never seen you eat something that fast. Like, I was like... Brr.
Yeah, but think about what you were eating. Yes,
and, oh, my God. But you don't know. It was like heaven sent. He brought it in that little container that kept it all nice and warm. Girl, I was.
Invite me over. I gotta come over one of these days.
You gotta try Papa Hudson's food. You would love Papa Hudson's. You know, see, my mom used to like make all the meals, and then she went back to work as we got older. And then when my dad like was tired of like coming home and not having any food, he decided that he was just gonna cook because his mother, my grandmother, was a great cook.
Uh-huh.
So he started cooking, and let me tell you,
that's not usual in the Puerto Rican family. It's always the women.
No, that's not true. I know a lot of men in the Latin households are cooking.
There's not one man in my family that cooks.
But let me tell you something. I prefer eating his food than my mother's food because when my dad cook, he cooks with so much love because he wants the food to be perfect. He loves when people bite into his food and they're like, oh my God, this is the best. So he puts so much. My mother could care less. So she's very hit and miss.
Sometimes, like that book, like Water for Chocolate.
Yeah, like Water for Chocolate. Sometimes when my mother, like, sometimes the meal could, like, be okay, and then other times, like, why did you even bother?
That's funny. You're making me hungry. We're 8 minutes into the podcast, and I don't want to take a break.
I know. What are you? I could go for some arroz con gandule, penne, and totone right now.
I think I could go for.
O chuleta frita.
Mm. Oh my God. You're killing me.
A plátano maduro.
Stop it! Why are you doing that to me?
Chuleta, polla, pollo. Oh my God! All right. Anyway, so
the only thing I don't like are the bacalaitos. I hate them.
I don't like bacalao either.
Codfish.
I used to like bacalao, and now I don't. Get it?
Get it? Oh, totón. Terry in Toronto knows totón.
Does she?
Yeah, because we.
Hi, Terry.
How are you?
So
listen, we had to do a podcast. We were gonna just wait till next week, but yeah. Jordan called me up. He's like, I have so much to say.
Well,
what do you normally tell me?
What?
When you talk about all my children,
I am not amused.
That's what he said to me.
Well, we can't. A lot of the stuff that we are not amused about, we can't really talk because it would be spoilers. Unless you're living under a rock and you've never opened up like Soap Opera Digest or Soap Opera Weekly or any soap magazine or visit any soap website like Daytime Confidential
.com
or AMC Jamie and Luke or ABC Super Poster.
DaytimeConfidential.com.
It's so ridiculous because Chuck Pratt is going everywhere telling every like the Daily News. Everybody has reported what's happening, so I don't know how you could not know what the storylines are going to be.
What are you talking about? Whisper in my ear.
All right. Can't we just tell them to speed ahead a few minutes?
Well, we don't do spoilers. That's the problem.
See, I don't feel like it is a spoiler when everybody and their mother knows.
Is it a casting thing?
No, it's about... Everybody knows that. It's been everywhere.
It's been discussed on our blog, too. Shadow is none too pleased with the development.
All right, look. If you don't want to... If by some chance you don't know what the heck we're talking about, then I say speed ahead about 10 minutes.
All right, so we got to do an official.
All right. Woo, 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 woo!
Spoiler alert.
Kind of spoiler alert. She thinks it is. I don't.
All right.
As everybody knows by now, Stuart's going to die.
Why did you soften the blow?
Oh my God. Look, I'm pissed about it. I am pissed. And I'm upset. And I think that Chuck Pratt needs to go. I think it's a stupid move.
Everybody thinks it's an idiotic move. Except for Brian Franz.
They're trying to pin it on David Canary saying that supposedly there's a rumors going around that's saying that he's ill in real life. I don't know if that's true or not. I have not talked to the man. David has not called me. I have not confirmed it with his doctor.
We know that that's a little bit true. We have our sources.
But again, our sources did not confirm anything. He's getting older.
He's not reading off cue cards. That's not
he's
true.
Getting,
but
yeah, he's
definitely
not reading.
Walking around with a little less pep in his step. Yeah, you know what I'm
but
saying?
Again, the man's not 60, you know, or 50 anymore.
He's amazing, David Canary. We adore you.
So you know them trying to put the blame on Mr. Canary and stuff.
His act.
acting while he's sick is a thousand times better than Adams while he's healthy.
There you go. I agree with you on that one. I'd rather watch a sick David Canary than watch a healthy Adam. Let me tell you.
I'd rather watch David Canary from the grave than watch Adam.
And I'm very upset about that, because the fact is we haven't seen Stewart like for years as it is. They brought him out like just to see Scott for like 5 seconds.
We get him painting the moon for Greeley and Ryan.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I loved Stewart. I still love Stewart. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not amused about this. I'm not amused. I'm not going to be liking this at all.
Don't hold back.
I'm going to be so pissed when they do this.
But we don't even know the details yet.
Oh, I know all the details, girl.
Oh,
see, that's spoilers. I won't tell you all. I know exactly everything that's going to happen. Praho is calling it a perfect storm. That's the name of the storyline. A perfect storm. Very original. Wasn't that a movie?
What comes out of his butthole is a perfect storm.
Wasn't that a movie?
Yes, with George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney. Yeah, really original there, Praho. You know, he's an idiot. He really is. So the fact that they're killing Stewart off, I'm not happy about it.
I'm probably not the only one to say this, and I think we've probably gotten this. I probably have this in my head from all of the great readers on our blog. First of all, a couple of the people on our blog have as their little picture.
I know. I live.
Pratt.
I love it.
Amazing.
Love it.
And then Jamie Giddens from Daytime Confidential, who we love. Hello, Jamie. He, his big thing is Fire Pratt. Like every week he ends his day and their podcast. They're like, Jamie, what are your thoughts for the week? And he's like, Fire Pratt.
I don't know why everybody knows this except for like Brian Franz.
So maybe. Maybe, I don't know if Susan and Elise from Toronto have mentioned this, but maybe, you know how they had the Dixie campaign? Maybe we should literally just send emails. Not even like lengthy emails. There. Just take all the emails from all of the contacts that Susan and Elise have provided us over the years and just send an email that just says in the subject line, Fire Pratt, and in the body, Fire Pratt. You don't even need to say more than that. You don't need to say why. You don't need to give a thoughtful analysis or ask astute opinions. Just Fire Pratt, Fire Pratt, Fire Pratt. Why can't we do that?
All I'm going to say is that I never thought these words would come out of my mouth. I'd rather have Megan McTavish back.
Ow!
That's how bad Pratt is.
Ow!
That I'd wish McTavish back.
See, here's where I am. I like, everyone seems to have hated Ezinstant and Brown. I didn't hate them. They only fouled up at the... Well, they fouled up in two places. They fouled up the Jesse return because that return was not well explained.
No, but...
It was not well explained. Your explanation was 1,000,000,000,000 times better.
I agree with you.
You had a brilliant explanation of Jesse's return. But they... And towards the end, when they were fired, so publicly and so, like, humiliated that they just dropped the pen. They, like, wrote crap on the page just to make fun of people.
Again, we don't know if the producers were forcing them to write this in getting ready for Pratt Ho's arrival, or for all we know, they could have left and they could have just been stuck in their name on the opening credits and they could have already been gone. Let me tell you something. The stuff goes on behind the scenes on a soap opera is even more scandalous and backstabbing than what's going on in front of the camera. Let me tell you.
Well, according to Charles Pratt, it's very high school.
Yeah, well, that's according to Mr. Pratt, because he looks at himself as Principal
Weatherby.
I mean,
Jamie Lerner is above all of it, and she's just going to shake things up.
Excuse me. That's former Melrose Place star Jamie Luna. Whenever you refer to her,
she's a hot mess.
Whenever you refer to her, she is the former Melrose Place star Jamie Luna. And let me tell you something. I saw that View thing that you wanted me to say.
I was just going
to
ask you.
I saw it, and you know what? She is an ass kisser. She was kissing those View people's asses like nobody's business.
Hold on.
I'm so nervous to be at the View because I watch you guys all the time.
But listen, this is what was really funny to me. I don't have any history with Jamie Luna. I didn't watch her as Savannah or whatever it was.
Oh, I loved her on Savannah.
Or Savannah, whatever the hell it was. See, I don't even know the name of the show.
Just the 10 of Us?
Fine. I don't watch any of that crap. Those are white people shows. I don't watch them. Oh, yeah. That's not true, because I watched Eight is Enough. That was a very white person show.
Oh, I used to love Eight is Enough.
Little House on the Prairie, very white
Grant
show, but
Goody.
I
remember
love
Grant Goody?
Little House on the Prairie.
Wait, go back to Eight is Enough. Grant Goody was hot. Grant Goody. I love Little House on the Prairie.
That is my point.
Wait, I watched Little House on the Prairie to the very end. Did you see the last season with Shannon Doherty?
Yes,
I love the whole thing. Little House on the Prairie rocks. I cannot get over that.
I watched an episode the other day.
Remember Nancy Olsen? Like
right.
Dr.
I have
daughter?
A point to get what? To, but okay, I gotta go make ahead. This point about Little House on the Prairie.
All right, go ahead.
Because Charles Pratt, you should be watching Little House on the Prairie for ideas. on Little House on the Prairie, there were like 8 girls in the house at this point. Dora was still really little. And, you know, her dad's wife had Charles, right? He had a baby son. And Laura was so jealous.
Oh my God.
That she wished that the baby would go away.
Wait, remember that episode? She
wished the baby would go away. And then guess what happens? The baby dies.
Crib death, right?
Crib death, sudden infant death syndrome. Yeah. Yes, and they didn't know what it was. So the baby dies, okay? I'm going to cry talking about this damn show.
I remember that episode.
The baby dies and Laura decides to run away because she thinks that if she runs away and finds God, that she can get God to exchange her for the baby son that was killed because her pa wanted a son. I'm going to cry. So then she goes up to the mountain and she finds God. It was like Ernest Borgnine playing God, right? Yes. And then he makes her realize that she's the one that her father loves, and he doesn't want her to go. He loves his daughter. And when he finds her, I was sobbing like a 2-year-old baby. He was so, because he thought he lost his daughter, and he was crying his eyes out at reuniting with his daughter. I can't even think. That is beautiful, beautiful storytelling. So if you're going to tell me, people, Little House on the Prairie wasn't a great show, you need to watch that episode.
That's not the only episode. There was a bunch of good episodes.
Remember, Laura's sister going blind.
And remember when the school got on fire?
Oh my God, she died. Wife died with the baby.
The next door neighbor died with Mary's baby.
Oh
my God.
She was pounding on the window.
You remember that too? Oh my God. That still gives me chills. I was a kid seeing that, and I was crying so hard. I'm like, why can't they rescue? I was telling my mother, why can't they rescue them? Oh my God, she's
dead. Laura was blind and her husband at this time.
Not Laura, no, Mary. Mary was blind.
Mary was blind and her husband at this God, time I remember blind. That. And so she went catatonic.
That Little House on the Prairie was so
good.
I'm
going to die.
Do you remember?
But
do
if
you
my remember, stuff could be half that good, I'd be happy.
I'd be happy too. But do you remember the episode with Todd Bridges from Different Strokes?
Oh, where he guest star? Little Red King.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Little Laura rubs his face and she goes, are you a real Negro?
But that was truthful because that was how people were.
For some reason, I thought that was the most funniest thing because she put her finger on his cheek and she like rubbed it off like it was gonna come off.
That's how people thought.
Are you a real Negro?
That's how people thought. It was so strange to them.
All my children still think that the way they write. Oh my God.
But I have a point about Jamie Luna, people. I'm coming full circle here, people. I don't watch those programs, but I did not know that Jamie Luna was a child star.
Yes.
She went from all the way childhood all the way up.
Yeah.
This woman acts as if she is Elizabeth Taylor. She walked onto that view set in a dress she couldn't even she couldn't lift her legs to climb the steps to the sofa. Did you notice that?
Uh-huh.
And she talked like this. It was very Erica Kane, Elizabeth Taylor. Yes, I've been acting since I've been 10. And it's just a marvelous, wonderful opportunity to be back on television. Such delicious storylines. I mean, she was like, did you find her like a total crazy-ass diva? And I'm like thinking to myself, who is this person? Who the hell are you?
I love the fact that like, it really wasn't even about like, All My Children, Eliza. It was about Jamie Luna. Former Melrose Place star, Jamie Luna.
Yes, what an entrance I had with Thorsten. And it's so funny because we filmed those scenes on our first day. I mean, it was just quite an introduction.
Everybody tells that story.
And I was more comfortable with Thorsten in those lovemaking scenes than I am right now.
I've heard that story. That is the most tired story. Everybody has that same story who started us. So our first day was I had to be in bed with her or him. Girl, you're not the first one. You're not going to be the last. Well, maybe the way they're canceling soaps left and right.
Pathetic.
Look, Jamie Luna, I love you. I loved you on Just the 10 of Us. I loved you on Savannah. I could not watch you on Melrose Place because I hated Melrose Place. I'm sorry. But
early Melrose Place was good. When she came on, it wasn't good.
No. Well, when she came on, Chuck Pratt was in charge. By that time, it was...
That's why.
Again, people don't realize Chuck Pratt was not writing Melrose Place from the beginning.
That's the thing. I'm sure I left it when he started writing. Because I used to watch it religiously.
I never liked it. I saw the first season and I fell asleep and that was enough for me.
That's a lie. It was a good show.
No, I couldn't get into it.
I loved it. I love Daphne Zuniga.
But then I only saw the first... I like Daphne Zuniga. Remember her from Family Ties?
Yes. Oh, no.
She was Alex's first girlfriend. Yes.
That was Courtney Cox.
No. Alex's first girlfriend, the nerdy girl with the long hair and glasses, yes! That was Daphne
You're
Zuniga.
Right. You are
because
right.
I loved her. I was very upset when he broke up with her and she wasn't on the show any longer. She was my favorite girlfriend. I didn't like Courtney Cox and I didn't like his real life wife, Tracy Pollan. I wanted him with Daphne Zuniga.
How did you not like Tracy Pollan? I love Tracy Pollan. That was where that whole song came from.
I know. Oh, I hate that song.
Oh, you are what a horrible.
Would you? Oh, God.
You are an awful human being. I think Why? I can't even. Get out.
What? I didn't like it.
Get out.
I didn't like. You know, talking about that, the music on TV series and so, I miss theme songs. Nobody does theme songs anymore.
Nobody.
None of these shows. Do they realize how important a theme song is to a TV show? To this
day, you're so right.
To this day and age, we know all the theme songs like The Munsters, Gilligan's Island, The Addams Family. That stays with you for life.
What don't we have a theme song to? I'm trying to think.
Everything doesn't have a theme song no more. All the shows now, they don't have a theme song.
It's my favorite show. Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, God, I hate dancing. It is. That is. That's,
that
no.
is my favorite song. Do you know, my favorite show. Do you know my favorite show.
My favorite theme song on a soap opera was The Edge of Night.
I didn't know it. Sing it. Oh, my sing God. Sing it. Sing it right now so the viewers come
no,
here.
No. Okay. Wait. I can't. I know it. Wait. I can't sing, but it's Edge and
just
I had
sing.
The...
sing. Yes, you can.
Seems as though the memory is hard to find. Always on my mind. And frustrated days pass without sight. The edge of night.
You're right. Stop singing. Stop.
Yeah, Gucci.
Stop. Is that Gucci Holly?
That was Gucci Holly. The Edge of Night, half dark, half light. Ooh, I used to love the Edge of Night theme song.
Another you don't have world, to sing anymore.
Another World.
You don't
you
have
take
to.
Me away to. That's even okay. Loving okay. had a theme song.
The viewers know it. They do.
L-O-V-I-N-G. But my favorite one, too, One Life to Live had a theme song.
Oh, no. Please don't sing
Do you remember
it.
That one?
No.
Where do you go? You only got one life to live. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, my
I, they
God.
Should bring that theme song back. I like that one.
Do we actually want to talk about All My Children next
Obviously
week?
Obviously, we don't.
We're 20 minutes in. Do we have to talk about All My Children last week? It's so old by this point. The viewers won't hear it until Wednesday of the following week.
They don't care. They need to know what happened. Well, we'll give you like an abbreviated version. First of all, let's talk about the fact that what was that hosting with Randy and Natalie? Because that was our like our opening about that. Did you think that was ridiculous? Or as you like to say, ridiculous?
Ridic. I don't really, you know, it was a fun intro to do, but the truth of the matter is that this scene, I'm just numb when I watch anything having to do with Randy or Natalia. So
yeah, I didn't understand the purpose of the scene other than to show the fact that Natalia is really an idiot. She's like special ed. And Randy
is from the streets. She's like our friend Di from the streets.
We're supposed to believe that like 41-pound Randy is gonna like beat up Natalia.
She got a lot of booty though. She got a decent sized booty.
Yeah, but she didn't smack her down with her
That's
butt.
True.
She got
there
with
that
her
That would have been the scene I would have liked to see. Smack her down with that booty.
You know what would have been interesting?
What?
If, what is it Natalia or Natalie?
Natalia.
Because there's Natalia on Guiding Light. I like Natalia on Guiding Light a lot better.
Oh, please. There's no comparison.
But if Natalia.
But I hate Natalie on One Life to Live. I do.
I don't like. But you know who I hate the most on One Life to Live?
Who?
Gigi.
No. Gigi.
Gigi. Gigi.
Don't you love
Gigi,
how what's her name?
And her.
Vicky says and Gigi.
And her lips.
She doesn't ever say Gigi. She's but Gigi.
Gigi.
But Reg Gigi loves you.
Gigi and her lips that look like an anus.
Lisa. She's that's apropos because she's always talking out of her ass. So.
I know. I'm sorry. You know what else? Does anybody even wear that kind of lip gloss anymore? What, isn't that like very 1980s?
I hear that on set she has got like 8 tubes like Velcro to the back of her pants.
I have. Is there
so whenever she needs a touch up?
But
just
does
goes
anybody
right on.
Have you ever worn lip gloss like that?
No.
In this decade,
no,
or ever.
Lisa Rinna did.
I'm sorry, but it's disgusting looking. Every time, you know what she looked like? She looked like she just ate some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Her mouth is all greasy.
Well, you know she ain't eating no Kentucky Fried Chicken, but she ain't but, you know, a buck or two.
I'm sorry. I cannot stand her. Farrah Fath needs
to
go.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you who I can't stand more.
Who?
Jamie Luner as Liza. I hate
okay,
her so much.
Okay, I already told you. Don't call her Liza ever on this podcast.
I said as Liza.
Not even that. We don't even refer to her. We refer to her as Former Melrose Place star Jamie Lunar. And a matter of fact, let's recap that.
No,
former Melrose Place star Jamie Lunar.
Listen, I ain't giving that woman that much of my mouth's effort. I'm just saying Jamie Lunar. That's it. Right. Sometimes I might even say JL. That's how little
you think of her.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'll call her. Former Melrose Place star Jamie Lunar suddenly comes to Pine Valley, and it seems that she knows Jake. And Jake and her were talking.
But you forgot the whole sex scene. Disgusting sex scene. Disgusting, ridiculous.
I didn't forget it.
Ridiculous.
I'm trying to forget it, and I can't. It's embedded in my brain.
Ew, it's seared.
It scarred me for life.
It really does.
It was disgusting.
Revolting.
It wasn't, and I'm going to, and just because I know that WMBDV is going to have an issue with this. He's going to call me a hypocrite because.
Why?
Because he's probably going to say, well, how is that any worse than what Todd and Taya did on One Life to Live? Let me tell you something. Todd and Taya used to be married. Todd and Taya are attracted to each other.
I love WMBD.
I'm not being mean to you, boy. I love you. I told you that. You're like my little Laura Ingalls because you're so cute and naive. But
go ahead.
But there's a big difference between what Todd and Taya did and what Jamie Lunar and Zach did.
Talk about what Todd and Taya did. It was
how hot was that? Oh my god! I was like,
we gotta wait. It's only 27 minutes.
Okay. Well, anyway, that was disgusting. What Zach and Jamie Lunar did. From a Melrose Place star,
Jamie. And all of our viewers, who I love so much because you guys are so astute, pointed out such ridiculosities in the whole thing. First of all, Jamie Lunar is alone in a casino with a zillion casino chips. One of our new listeners wrote into the blog and pointed out that that's as good as money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you would never be unattended with all those chips.
And
there'd be cameras everywhere. There'd be people.
Didn't she leave all the chips there when she left?
Something like that.
She left all the chips, and yet when she was talking to Jake, she was talking about the fact that the reason she became a lawyer was to support her and Colby because she was so broke.
Which
made no sense because Liza was well off. Before she married Adam, she wasn't as rich as Adam, but she had money. She was not some broke person. Nope. Liza comes from money.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that her father
Miriam
left an inheritance.
Very successful real estate.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Liza's not a poor person. And I'm sure that when Liza, not former Melrose Place star Jamie Lunar, when Liza left town, I'm sure she cashed in all her money so she could have money to go on the run. It wasn't like she just all of a sudden left everything and left all her money behind somewhere. So the fact that former Melrose Place Jamie Lunar's crying poor doesn't ring true to me.
Not at all. So then who do you want to talk about? Jake?
Well, I will say that I like the scenes between former Melrose Place star Jamie Lunar and Jake. There were some moments there. There were even a moment that I said maybe she could have pulled this off. But then came the scenes with her and Colby. And I was like, you know what? No, she can't.
No.
And I mean...
Can I ask you a question?
What?
If you were getting a new role on a soap, a contract role, would you be willing to dye your hair? Because the red hair, I'm hating.
I don't think she could dye her hair. I think she would look horrible with blonde hair.
I know the red hair is her.
Yeah, I don't think she could look right with blonde hair.
But why can't she be blonde?
Look, I understand what you're saying. The red hair bothers me less than it does you. What bothers me more is the fact that you're coming on to replace a character, to play a character that's been on the show for years that has history, and you could care less about that. That's what's irking me. That's the thing that I'm losing respect for you, Miss Jamie Lunar.
Do you
Lunar,
want to know something?
Because I don't like the fact that you said, oh, you don't care what happened before. You're doing whatever you want. No, that's not the way it works on soap operas, girl. That's not the way it works on soap operas.
I think Zach's right-hand casino lady, that woman, would actually make a better Liza than Jamie Lunar. I swear to God.
All I'm telling you is Bev Chamberlain's going to be free in a few months, and
she would be so perfect.
She would have been... That is the one person, hands down, that I would not even bat an eye could replace Marcy Walker.
I'm offended.
I'm very offended.
Deeply offended.
You know, and like I said, I really did for a moment. Those scenes with her and Jake were actually kind of good. There was some sparks there. I actually...
Because they're both good actors.
Yeah.
I'm not harshing on Jamie Lunar as an actress.
This has nothing to do with you as an actress, girl. This has to do with the fact that you're not right for the part.
You're wrong.
And the scenes with her and... what are we calling her this week? Turby? Coldby? What is it?
I like Coldby. I think Turby is a little harsh.
Coldby.
At times.
Those were the worst scenes.
So is Fivehead.
It was almost like, you know what it was like? Because you know, they don't shoot those scenes live like they're really talking to each other. They shoot those scenes separately.
Yes.
You know? So it was so bad that it looked like the camp, like some prop man had a big stick. And every time it was Colby's turn to talk, he like jabbed in the belly. Because she'd be there, like the camera would be on her with the phone. And they're like, oh yeah, I gotta say something now. Oh yeah, I gotta say something now.
I think that the sound man had some eye drops in the boom, and every time she had to cry, a little drop, then she would cry.
Look, she's reaching all time lows. Well, I don't understand how this girl still has a job.
I don't know either, honey.
I'm sure you're a really nice Brianna Mongrief.
Brianna Mongrief,
but you're not an actress, baby. Girl, there's a lot of jobs that you could do. Watch her get a CW pilot next year.
Seriously, what happens. All these girls fail up.
It's like, but let me tell you,
my biggest gripe is that Elena De La Garza. I know you like her, but I can't stand her.
Oh, I never said I like her.
Really?
No, she used to play one
of the.
A lot.
She played one of the.
She was the last
Santos
Rosa Santos. She was supposed to be the youngest Santos sisters, Mateo's younger sister. She looked older than Mateo. She was not right for that role either. She was totally miscast. She was too old for that role.
Yeah, she was miscast because she can't act. And then now she's a big star on one of the Law and Order things.
No, I never said that I liked her. I said that she's worked, and I don't understand it, but she gets worked like nobody's business.
She's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
She must be blowing the right people. Excuse me,
you
sorry.
Better be careful with the language. We're not bleeding.
Allegedly blowing the right people.
All right, so basically, and also too, we have to point out, is it too mean to point out the glycerin in Colby's eyes?
No, that is what we're here for, to
it
tell
definitely
them the,
was, don't
the
you
truth.
Think? It wasn't flowing.
It looked fake.
It
looked fake. It
wasn't flowing.
It looked like they said quickly, and like one of the, like the stage manager probably spit in her eye or something. It was that gross.
I don't
gross.
Know. And the thing is that when people cry, you generally wipe your eyes. You don't leave it there to collect. She was like really praying that it would pull up so she would have a little tear to produce.
Honey, they know what real crying. They got Alicia Minshew and Eden Rigel for that.
Regal.
What Regal,
the hell is
Rigel.
Wrong with you? Regal.
Rigatoni, I don't care.
My God.
She's on her way out anyway.
There was one scene where Kendall was lying in the bed in the hospital next to Ian and Ryan sitting there, and she just cries one single tear. It was beautiful. She's so good at that.
So, yes, so supposedly former Melrose Place star Jamie Luna thinks that she's Colby's mother, and she phones Colby, and they have the most bizarre conversation that makes no sense, because Colby makes it seem as if former Melrose Place star Jamie Luna dumped her like a few years ago, when that's not what happened. You left your mother to go with Adam.
But her mother didn't find her.
And this was just a couple of years.
Her mother didn't get
this
her back.
This was only
back.
A couple of years. Not
her
like
mother didn't come looking for
no,
her.
No, look, there's a lot of time discrepancies. They're making it seem like Kobe's been away from her for like 18 years. It's only been like 2 or 3 years.
Well, all I know is she goes to see Jake, convinces her that she has got to work to see her daughter. Go figure. Because Liza wouldn't know that she has...
Jamie Luna wouldn't
know. I'm talking about the character.
Oh.
Because the character, Liza, wouldn't know that her daughter might be potentially hurt, that they haven't talked in like 2 years or whatever.
Whatever.
So,
so many holes.
So she goes and she gets right onto that Chandler porch, back porch, no problem, and watches them and turns to the camera and looks wistfully.
And then you
as
never...
if she's deeply affected.
And you never see her again the whole week.
Thank God! All right, so then we have Zach. We gotta go back to Zach. I ain't got much on him. Thank God.
Oh,
God. But listen, me and Jordan literally have fights about Torsten K, because I think he is delicious, absolutely delicious, and he does nothing for Jordan.
I think he's a walking venereal disease.
Not like Adam from American Idol. No.
Ooh, girl. Ew. Oh, he is so. He skis me out. And he's a mo, and he still skis me out.
What do you mean he's a mo?
Honey, he's a homo.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's a mo. That's what we call each other.
All right,
moes.
But he's too like. There's something off weird about him.
I know he's a crazy mo.
Something crazy, right?
He's a skanky mo.
He don't have no sex appeal.
I find him very greasy. And the fact that all these girls think he's hot and they want him, it's very Boy George 2009.
I think Middle America deserves him. That's what I'm saying. Don't you think? Look,
I stopped watching Idol, but I did. My Mama Hudson was watching it the other week, and I walked in at the right time, and I saw my Chris Allen performing the Donna Summer song. That was hot.
He did all
that. Was hot.
Absolutely.
I love me some Chris Allen. Even Entertainment Weekly said, like, finally something that straight women and gay men can, like, appreciate together.
But how did Allen... Hirohita ends up so low on the totem pole.
They don't like Latins on American Idol. That's the only thing
I
can think of.
She doesn't read as Latin.
She's a Latina.
I know, but she doesn't read that way.
Do you hear what Joe McHale
And Allison Hirohita, I think she's actually not Thai. What's the other place?
No, she's Ecuadorian.
Ecuadorian?
Like that. Yes. She's a Latin girl.
I thought she was Filipino.
I don't care. Look, all I know is that they keep dissing her, and I get mad at that.
She's so freaking talented.
I got to tell you, though, was actually surprised.
At what?
Oh, I did get to, I had to see the results show.
Oh, he's so full of beans. He's
no,
watching.
No, I'm not watching. I saw the, excuse me, my little Munchie Chi was on last week. I had to watch the results show.
Who?
Munchie Chi, David Archuleta.
Oh, God. He's not so great. Dreamy. Oh,
are you kidding? God. I have a CD. I love his CD. He was singing that. Honey, let me tell you something. His CD is awesome.
No,
Crush.
No comment.
He's a little cutie. Is no he comments. Legal yet?
No.
You know, he's Latin, too.
Yeah, I think he's a Mormon, too, so get your hands off.
Oh, he's a Mo, girl. Come on.
But I think he's Mormon, isn't
I'm
he?
I'm sure Ryan Seacrest is tapping that.
Better him than me. That's all I can say.
There was a time that I wanted Ryan Seacrest to be my husband, but not anymore.
Did you people catch when Thorsten... When Zach, I keep calling him Thorsten, when Zach went to visit Ian and he saw Kendall and Ryan and he just stared through that window for like 82 minutes. Isn't that weird? And Kendall finally makes an excuse to go out.
So stupid.
It was really weird. And then she notices the red mark. And I thought Alicia did such a good job as Kendall with this. She notices a red mark on his neck and she asks him what it is. And Zach says, "That's probably lipstick from the woman I had sex with last night." That's harsh.
Ba-dum-bum.
Harsh.
It was stupid.
It was really, really stupid.
It was stupid. A lot of the dialogue... You know what? I gotta tell you, the writers on My Children are not really great with the dialogue on...
On who?
It sounds very... It sounds like kids on a playground insulting each other and stuff. Like the put-downs and everything. It's so not, like, witty or intelligent. It's so,
it's
like... My 6-year-old nephew can do better.
Now, we have already pointed out, the Ask Two viewers on our blog have already pointed out, and actually Jordan Hudson, I think you pointed out.
What did I point out?
You pointed out, as well as the viewers, that there would absolutely have been some crossover between the time Marcy Walker left and Thorsten K. came
on
board.
We didn't mention that in the show last time, but we had talked about it before. We got, this is what we can't
and
talk
even
until we
if,
do the show.
And even if they didn't see each other on screen, Zach knows the Chandlers and knows their entire history, and he knows Colby. He would absolutely know what the hell Liza looked like.
No,
she would be front page news once in a while.
I'm almost sure that Marcy Walker and him had to have crossed paths. You know why? Because he hates Adam, and she was
absolutely
part of Fusion.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
No, they must. I wish we could find out for sure, but I do think there was a crossover.
Well,
there.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because part of the storyline with Zach this week is him finding out who this mystery woman is. Bull caca! It's bull caca! It's lazy ass head writers not doing their damn homework or take it for granted that they actually have an audience who cares about this program.
So Zach doesn't watch
dumbasses.
TV? Zach doesn't watch TV? He never saw Melrose Place? Or Savannah?
I guess not.
To know that he was screwing around with Jamie Lunar?
I wonder if he wore a condom. Do you think he wore a condom?
He put a poker chip in there.
I hope he put something on, because that's disgusting. Don't
Look,
you think?
I don't want to get into that, because I'll tell you right now that the fact that there are people out there having unprotected sex scares the shit out of me.
That's my point. And nobody mentioned a condom. How refreshing would it have been if he actually pulled out a condom? I would have at least been happy about that. That would have been realistic to me. You don't just get on a casino table in front of cameras and a zillion other people and have
There's
sex with some
a
woman.
A lot of people having bareback sex, and that just freaks me out.
Because they think AIDS is over now.
Well, no. What's even worse now is that they just think, oh, if I got it, it's like a throat infection.
Shot.
I'll just get on the meds.
Insane.
That's insanity. That's getting me on my soapbox. I don't want to get on my soapbox.
I do like that it's making Kendall a little jealous. That's kind of interesting to me. Because we get to see the true colors of Kendall.
What we get to see is that she's just like her mother, basically.
Right.
She doesn't want him, but she doesn't want him not to want her.
Well, she goes to see Reese, who I really like now. Because now, at least, Reese has... Listen to me, listen!
You're so stupid.
Reese now knows who she is. I didn't like the wishy-washy Reese. The wishy-washy Reese was annoying as hell. But Reese now knows who she is, and she's getting in people's faces and stuff. I like that.
No, my feeling is like Kendall, like, why are you still in town? I'm sorry, Reese is done for me. I just want Reese out of
town. She's in town because her contract expired 2 months after eating Regals.
I know, but even every time she pops up, I'm just like, oh, she's still around?
She's still around.
They killed her for me. I loved her. When her and Binks first came to town, I had such high hopes.
We all did. I can't go there because it's too depressing. All I know is that Kendall does not get the answer she's looking for from Reese, so she goes back home and demands that Ryan make love to her. And Ryan wasn't going for it.
No, you're right. Those scenes were good. And the scenes with Reese and her were good. I'm sorry. They were.
Thank
Reese,
you.
What Reese said to her was really, really good.
I liked it a lot.
And Alicia played the hell out of it. Did you see when she walked out and she left Alicia there? Alicia was just like that? It was good.
She was even more confused.
Yeah, it was good.
So it was really good. So anyway, and you know what, people? That's a nice thing that we're saying about the program this week. So mark it in your little notebooks. Take notes. We said something positive. We got a bad review on iTunes for being negative. Out of like 50 iTunes reviews, we got one bad one. And guess what Ashley thinks about every night?
What?
The one bad one.
What did they say?
They said, well, first of all, it was...
Was it you, Susan and Elise?
It could have been. That's all right. Well, it was funny because it was like from January of 2009.
Uh-huh.
And it said Ashley and Taylor. But Taylor hasn't really been on the show, but, you know, every 6 months since, like, 2007 or 2008.
I've been doing it that long?
You've been doing it that long? I've been doing it that long, yeah. So when they said that Ashley overtalks poor Taylor. I felt so bad. I was like, I think I do.
I don't think you do me. I know. I'm a feisty one. I fight back.
I felt terrible. But listen, if we do a program like this, I tell myself every day, you know, if you're going to dish it out, you got to be able to take it. So I got to be able to take it. I got to be a big girl.
That's mighty big of you.
It was sad, though. I felt so terrible. I overtalked Taylor.
Look, girl, you're not going to be able
to please. I'm too negative.
Look, you're not going to be able to please everyone.
You're right.
All right?
You're right.
But, Prattholes. Pull off.
Listen, I don't give a crap. Don't listen to my show. You don't like it, change the channel.
Like Howard Stern always says. You don't like it, change the channel. But, yes, you cannot please everyone. But Prattholes, do not listen to that. You at least need to please somebody. And right now, you're not pleasing anybody.
The fans. People you call the fans.
Prattholes.
Julie, who are these people you call the fans?
I want to
meet. Who are these mystical creatures?
I want to meet my Saffold sisters that do Prattholes.
Those have women are. Have you seen the explanation?
What do you mean?
They have a Q&A one there where they animate themselves.
Yeah, I know, but I want to know who they are. I want to meet them and shake their hand. These two women are so intelligent and so, so witty. Brilliant. They need to be. If you girls are not writers, like, I'm not. Plays, movies, you need to be in the business because you are so intelligent.
They're not gay.
You don't think they're gay?
They said they weren't.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did.
I didn't see it all the way through.
They did. But then they were like, nothing wrong with that. We just don't happen to be gay. That's all.
Okay, so you're not my Sappho sisters.
But they are in spirit. They're activists.
But you could still come out and be my wingman when we go out.
Listen.
Do you live in New York? I'm looking for friends.
My favorite thing was when Ryaz would not have sex with Kendall when she was demanding it because she felt all lonely. And she looks at him.
God forbid that he didn't have sex with her because he just lost his fiance a month ago.
That's what she said. She said, why? Nothing ever stopped you from making love to me before.
Including your fiance dying.
Not even a dead, barely decomposed wife.
She did not say that.
Oh, no, she didn't say that. Sorry. I put that on. You were wondering, like, did she say that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, another thing I like this week. Mark this in your notebooks, people. Take notes on little post-its. Another thing Ashley Mendoza liked this week. I like when Kendall tried to make Zach jealous with pretending the phone call. Yes. Oh, come on. It was Kendall. Pure Kendall.
No, you know what? Kendall needs a new love interest. Get rid of Zach. Get rid of Ryan. Kendall needs something new.
So disappointed in her and Ryan. No chemistry at all. I always thought I would die to ever see them back together. And they just...
Not
Chuck,
this way,
Chuck
though.
Pratt blew it so not badly that they literally way. Have not one drop of chemistry.
Not this way.
And her and Thorsten still ooze chemistry. I'm sorry, but they do. I know you don't agree, but they do.
Oh, I agree with you. He's oozing something.
He needs some penicillin for what he's using.
Stanky looking. You know what it is? We were talking about this. I just can't get past the way he looked on One Life to Live. For those of you who never seen him on One Life to Live, Google him and Marty on One Life to Live. He used to have this Fabio hair that was like really curly and long. It looked very greasy. It looked very nasty.
Or as Carlos likes to say, greasy.
Greasy. It just grossed me out. And every time I see him, I cannot get that image of him as Thornton. What's the name?
Thorsten.
No, on the show, his name was Patrick Thornhart.
Ugh. I don't know him.
God, it was gross.
Well, basically, let's wrap this up quick. Ryan quits Fusion. He works with Erica that day. That black dress Erica had on was amazing. And Erica had another dress on this week that was astounding. That woman, I take it back. Every negative thing I ever said about you not deserving your paycheck, I take it back. You deserve every penny because did you think she has new implants? Her tetas were looking so luscious and round this week.
I think she just knows how to...
My gosh, she looks so perfect. Anyway, Ryan quits Fusion. Erica sets Kendall straight. Zach shows Reese a picture of Gabby that supposedly Bianca has sent.
That was not a pretty baby picture.
It looked like a boy. Remember when Miranda like was alien. Played by two twin boys?
Yeah.
Joseph Scatelli or something like that. Joseph and John Scatelli. And then, why did Reese go to see Erica?
That's this week.
That was No. Yeah. That was last week. That was Friday.
Oh, she went to go see. No, she lied. She made up this excuse that something was wrong with the building. She needed to check it in. And Erica, being totally Erica, was like, "Oh, you just wanted to see me." And then Reese fessed up, and she's like, "Yeah." She goes, "I went in," and she was basically seeing if Erica could find out from like Bianca where Bianca feels and stands. And Erica was like, "Nyeh." And then
I'm sorry, I asked. Yeah, it was really, really sorry. I asked and wasted 42 seconds of the podcast with that explanation. Because you know what? Not worth it.
You know what the problem is with that?
That
again, bad writing. It goes back and forth. Is Erica on her side or Erica's? When did we see the transition that Erica all of a sudden thinks that they belong together?
All right, fine. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
It's done.
All
it's
I know,
done.
People, is at the end of the week, we had Zach talking to some mystery woman all week. And of course, it was Bianca because we all know Eden Regal's finishing up this horrid storyline. And Kendall's wondering who it was. And it turns out, of course, to be Bianca.
It was a Brady Bunch episode, basically. Yes.
Do you want to talk about Insani? We must. I think we must. She actually got a lot of airtime this week with her and Adam.
Was there a hot doctor on this week?
No.
See, then I really
can't. He don't want to talk about it.
I phase out when the hot doctor's not there because I cannot stand Adam. I don't buy this storyline.
He's taking a psycho on the run again.
That wig was horrible.
My part that I found hysterical is him taking passport pictures of her in the wig without any kind of backdrop. There's a red like hotel motel light flashing behind her. I mean, it was pathetic.
All right, you know what my problem with this right now is?
The whole storyline?
Yeah, it's your backtracking. I thought we were getting a story of a woman, a redemption of a woman finding herself, in like kind of like when Robin Madsen played Janet and Janet like redeemed herself. I thought that's where we're going, and now you're backtracking and backpedaling and making Annie go backwards. She's kidnapping the kid. It's just
we've done that. Trying to say is that originally we see Annie realizing that Richie was a cruel, heartless killer and all that stuff as a young child, as a way to redeem a character who was so fallen that there's almost nowhere to go. So they're trying to redeem her, but because that damn Chuck Pratt has no long-term plans for anything and makes the crap up as he goes along, he changes his mind midstream. If you're trying to redeem a character, you don't have her go on the run and abduct her kid yet another time, even if you're going to give her back. I don't care. You don't do it! I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you I was going to scream. I didn't do a little alert. Sorry, viewers.
It's okay.
Sorry, listeners.
Sorry.
Anyway,
the whole thing is stupid. It's dumb. Tell them
she's going to Glasgow or to London or to some crap. Lord. Because that brilliant Adam Cladumbo ass has figured out how to get her there and fake her passport. And then...
this leads us to the worst performance of Cameron Matheson's career.
What? Tell me. Which one did you think? Which part? Because I could name a few.
When he busted in, waving the gun to Annie and Adam.
Oh, that was horrible.
I cannot begin to tell you how wretched that acting was.
What happens was Annie and Adam go on the run. She steals Corinna for the Corinna. She acted as Corinna to steal Emma for the day.
I'm Corinna.
Adam goes to Ryan's to pretend he doesn't know anything about what's going on. Jesse calls in the meantime because he has to tell Ryan that Annie's gotten loose again. So It's just ridiculous.
Again.
So then they're at the Pine Cone or wherever they're staying at.
Yeah.
And before, as they're about to make their escape, Ryan busts in with this square gun. I don't know what kind of revolver or gun it is, but he busts in. And he's trying to do his best, like Miami Vice, like holding the gun, like
he was holding it, like he was holding it, like he was Special Ed. It didn't make any sense.
But not even Special Ed. You ever notice, like in some of the rap videos and stuff, like,
oh, he was trying to hold a gangster. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Because he's down. He's Ryan
trying to be
the
like
street.
All gangster with it, and it ain't working. And some, and of course, okay, this is how stupid they think we are. I feel a scream coming on, so bear with me. This is how stupid they think we are. He gets Ryan gets a phone call. He's holding a gun to his psycho wife and the man who's trying to help her escape and who has just helped her abduct his child. And the man cannot handle a gun and look at his phone at the same time. He looks down for like 82 minutes at the phone, studying the damn phone. So, of course, Adam sees his chance and wrestles, you know, knocks the gun to the ground, and Annie runs, okay? Now, they wrestle. Ryaz gets control of the gun within a minute. And he says to Adam, "Where's Annie?" And Adam says, "Far away by now. Far, far away. She's far away by now." It was a minute later. She's far away. I hope you people turned down your iPods because that was just too annoying.
Oh my God.
Was it horrible?
It was. Look, this storyline is so awful. Adam, why is he still on the show?
And poor Jesse is reduced to this
poor
crap.
Darnell. You know what I'm saying? Darnell is like such a great actor, but when you put him with Ryan and Adam, he gets sucked into their bad acting that he starts acting bad.
Terrible.
He was horrible in those
terrible
scenes with them.
Because Ryan says to him, "Three times, Jesse. Three times Annie's escaped Oldhaven. Three times." And Jesse screams, "I'm doing everything possible. Doing everything possible, man. Doing it."
It was so bad.
It was horrible.
Oh, it was so bad. I can't take it. Now you got me screaming. That's how bad it
That's
was.
That's how bad and awful it was. And how'd the week end with those two numbskulls?
Oh, who knows? Who cares? Look, you want to see some good stuff?
What?
Number One Ladies Detective Agency with Jill Scott. Just caught up with it. Love it. Caught up. All caught up. Have you seen it?
I haven't watched Brilliant. One episode.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Jill Scott, not only can the woman sing, but she can act, unlike Beyonce.
Oh, I know how neither. The week. We do have to say how the week ended for them.
What?
Opal is now also reduced to an under five. And Shadow, by the way, Shadow sent us a question. And one of his questions were, what is a under five? No.
Oh, that was one of his questions?
It was one of his questions, and he sent us two questions.
It's when you have under five lines, Shadow. There is extras that have no lines, under fives which have under five lines, or are doing something in front of the camera with a principal interacting. That you could be an under five even though you don't have a line, but if you're visible, like, interacting. Like, you know, sometimes there are those nurses who hand Dr. Joe something when Dr. Joe's like, "And I need you to take the x-rays," and she nods.
Yeah.
That could be
it's like $200 extra five. Dollars. Yeah.
Yeah. And then comes
principal.
Day player is somebody like maybe a cop who has more than
no,
five
day
lines.
Day player is like the casino hand because she's not a contract player. She's a day player. She's,
wouldn't that be called the recurring character though?
But it's still, she still gets day player.
Because there's day player, but then there's a recurring character.
But she gets day player.
Then what does recurring character get?
Anybody can be recurring. U5 could be recurring.
Okay.
Like, for example, Gail is recurring U5.
I
Karina, Karina
her.
Na
oh,
is recurring U5.
I hate Nurse Gail and I hate Karina Na Karina Na.
If you're gonna scream, you gotta alert them.
I'm gonna scream. I hate Nurse Gail and I hate Karina Na Karina Na.
Can't stand her. Although I have to say, I really did enjoy Melissa Claire Egan as Karina Gonzalez. It was awesome, right? Karina Gomez, whatever they call
her. Oh, Melissa Claire.
This is how it ended. Opal ended up being a U5 again as a babysitter this time to Emma. Now she's Emma's babysitter. Because, damn, I mean, if they're going to pay the same rate, they might as well get Jill Larson versus, you know, this chick.
Karina.
Right, exactly. So Opal has a bad vibe. I've got a bad feeling, Ryan. I feel Amy's presence here. I feel it here. I feel it. And then she turns around and all of a sudden you hear a blood curdling. And it's Annie covered in tomato ketchup or something. Her hand sliding down Ryan's back door window. I had a vision. Danger's a coming. It's danger a coming.
God bless you, Jill Larson.
We love because you so much. We're not making fun of you, Jill Larson. We're not I'm
amazed
you.
At the fact that you get the most stupidest shit to do, and yet you turn it out. I got to give you props because I would be like, what the WTF is this?
That's right.
That's how bad.
That was redundant, by the way, Jordan Hudson.
What?
You just said, what the.
I know, but we're not bleeping today. We're going.
All right, fine.
All right.
Fine. I got to talk for a second about Brat and Taylor. Oofah.
Brat and Taylor.
Oofah. Okay, listen, people. I love the whole military storyline. I do. I'm not trying to be mean about it. I think that, or cruel about it, because I actually think that it's really nice to have a real vet on the show. And some of those lines he was speaking, those weren't written for him. He was speaking those lines from the heart. He's just wincing. Jordan just can't even. He's just biting. There's blood leaking from his mouth. He's biting his tongue so hard. Be careful, Poppy.
Because I'm very confused. Like, if I really hope that they did not let J.R. Martinez speak on his own behalf. Because if they did, I'm sorry. I didn't feel those scenes at all. I didn't like a lot of that
line. I liked him a lot.
No, I liked him. But I just felt that a lot of the stuff was very repetitive. And I didn't really feel that it was
after
really...
After school special.
It didn't really hit home. It's very patronizing.
It didn't really hit home for me.
I'm sorry. It really didn't. I appreciate and adore
the fact that they're giving coverage to these men and women.
No, that I adore.
Who have worked and sacrificed so much for this
I'm
going to
say it this way.
Dumbass war.
If you had real writers...
It's not political.
If you had real writers writing it and it was some deep meaty stuff, that's great. If you decided to let the actor just speak from his own...
This is my problem with it, Jordan. Seriously. This should have been a much longer storyline. It should have taken a much longer time to resolve. Actually, you know what? He should not have even been able to resolve it. That's what I would have liked to have seen.
Well, no. They have written the two of them into a corner. You know? It's just a fact.
It's obvious. It's not even worth discussing.
They don't even know... Wait, but look, in the new Soap Opera Digest, which I just happened to have, let's see what Mr. Pratt has to say about this. I was telling you about this and you didn't believe me. Look, get this. As for a potential Tad and Taylor, this is from the new Soap Opera Digest, which according to Daytime Confidential is bankrupt now. as for a potential Tad and Taylor pairing, Pratt says, Taylor and Tad, yes, that definitely is in the experimental stage, the chemistry test stage. The scribe says he's aware that Beth Eller's fans are eager to see her story heat up, and he aims to fix it. It's one of the hardest things we're dealing with right now because, I'll be honest, it's kind of gotten back burner and boring.
You're the head writer!
Okay. You're an idiot! Yes, you're right!
I'm sorry. Scream alert. You're the head writer!
You're an idiot!
It's up to you, you freaking idiot!
You're such a... Is that not the most stupidest thing you've ever read?
It's almost like as if he's like...
If it's kind of gotten back burner and boring,
it's your fault!
You dummy! You freaking prat hole, you!
God!
You're such a prat hole!
Such a prat hole!
How the hell do you still have a job, you moron?
I'm throwing Pratatonic!
I spit on your grave!
Two! I fart on you! I Dutch oven you! Every night! You know what Dutch?
No, I never heard
of a Dutch oven.
What the hell's that?
It's like when I'm sleeping with Carlos. He does it to me. I don't want to do it to him. And he farts on the covers, and then he pulls the covers over so I could be trapped in his fart. You never heard of this?
Ew!
It's disgusting.
Ew!
You want to vomit? But what are you gonna do? It's what he does. He thinks it's funny. What?
Oh,
all right, fine. I Dutch oven you.
That was
Chef
too much
Pratt.
Information.
I Dutch oven you.
Oh, that's so gross.
I hate him so much. Disgusting.
This just shows what an idiot Pratt is.
It's too much.
God.
It's too after school
oh
special.
My God.
J.R. Martinez deserves a deeper storyline. Beth Eller certainly deserves a much better storyline.
No, the thing that hurts is that should have been deeper. It could have been deeper. Instead, you rushed it into one episode. And the writing, I really feel bad if it was J.R. Martinez just ad-libbing and improvising. I don't agree with that, though. I thought actually what he said was very meaningful. I cried a little bit. It was one of my hanky moments this week. I felt it was very quick.
I don't get a lot of hanky moments with this show. I had a hanky moment.
I thought it was very quick, very repetitive, and it really didn't get to the heart of the matter.
I thought he was great.
And that bizarre montage of him and her like running around.
It felt very GL, though, didn't it? It felt a little GL.
Because it was shot live. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, Hattie, Gus survived the car. Sorry, that was mean.
I don't even watch that show, so I don't know. But listen, I don't want to talk about Ramsey and Frankie except to say that Scott Chandler hit real hard on Ramsey.
I liked it, though.
I did, too. But
I got to know. Let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to discuss this because I like Beaker.
2 minutes.
I like Beaker.
I like Beaker, too.
I like Beaker, but not with Randy. And this is why I like Beaker, because this is the first time.
And listen, we're stealing that. We've got to give credit where credit is due. Shadow came up with that.
And Shadow, his name from now on, he will be known as Beaker, because he does look like Beaker from Muppet.
A handsome Beaker.
I'm sorry, but I think, what is his name, Adam Mayfield? Is that it?
I don't know his name.
I think he's a hottie. I think he's a lot hotter than Cameron Matheson. See, I don't like the whole metrosexual pretty boy
look.
You
think Petey is hotter than Cameron Matheson?
No, I'm over Petey. I'm so over Petey. Anyway, I didn't think Petey was hotter than Cameron Matheson. At one time I was actually attracted to Petey. I'm not attracted to him anyway.
Storyline is stupid.
Beaker, look. Beaker's hot.
Beaker's storyline is stupid.
And the actor playing him has a little edge, which the other previous Scots has never had. No, the other Scots were talented, but they just didn't have the edge. He does. He does, and I like when he hit on Randy. Stupid. Well, it's stupid because the whole fact that him and JR hate each other comes out of nowhere. Scott hasn't been on the canvas for forever. The last time Scott was on the canvas, JR was still like 12 or 8 or something. Fine. It just doesn't make sense. No sense. The whole them fighting, this heart valve thing, dumb. Adam pitting them against each other, dumb.
Dumb.
But I will say I like you, Beaker. I think you're hot, and I like the fact that you can act.
Can I tell you that I at least like Adam trying to get them to stop fighting all the time?
Yeah, but he's kind of pitting them against each other on purpose. He admitted that to Erica.
He didn't say that, though. He said that the solution is somewhere in the middle. You can make money and change the world.
Yeah, but he admitted to Erica that he's purposely pitting them against each other. In other words, it's just very been there, done that yawn.
Oh, the whole thing.
But we like you, Beaker.
And then with David switching Adam's pills.
So now we know why Adam's having all these problems, because David's been poisoned. Been there, done that, boring.
And it's like, Angie comes over, right? And of course, Nurse Gail tells David exactly where Angie
that
is.
That damn Nurse Gail. Somebody kill Nurse Gail. Just kill her already.
But then here's what happens. It just drives me freaky. I'm going to try not to scream. It drives me crazy. Angie comes over and looks at the bottle. And something doesn't look right to her.
No, she was going to take the bottle in to see if the dosage was right. And David switches the bottles while
the little boy comes running in. Here's my problem. Why do you treat me, Chuck Pratt, like I'm such a friggin' a-hole? Why do you have Angie leave the pills in plain sight right at the doorway so that David could so easily switch them? Are you that freaking lazy? You get paid so much money!
You are at a yell fest today.
I am mad. I'm really mad. One Life to Live does not treat me like this.
Look, all I can say is it was very trite. It was very predictable. It was very stupid. It was just dumb. And I want somebody to kill Nurse Gail. I hate her.
I can't talk about
it. You know what it reminds me? I'm catching up on The Tudors, and I'm on season 2 with Peter O'Toole, who's the Pope, and he's so fabulous. You like Peter O'Toole?
I do love Peter
O'Toole. I love Peter O'Toole. He's great in his
role. I saw the movie Venus. He was brilliant in the movie
They're complaining
Venus.
About...
Brilliant.
I so need to see Venus. I've always wanted to see Venus, and I haven't seen
it. I loan it to you.
But
have it.
You have...
I do.
Oh, do loan it
bootleg.
To me.
Bootleg.
I don't care. I want to see Venus. But look...
Great movie.
So there's this scene because they're all... like because you know The Tudors, so
just
you don't watch... Do you
like
watch
a
it?
Star across the sky.
Do you know watch
just
The Tudors?
Just like an angel. I'm sorry. Go back
love
to Venus.
That song. That's
what
it's
from.
Corinne Bailey Ray. Anyway, so like for the first season that, you know, Henry's been trying to like divorce his wife so he could, you know, hook up with Anne Boleyn.
The old lady.
So it was this great scene because Peter O'Toole's first scene as the Pope in the second season, and the guy comes up to him, the cardinal, and he's telling the Pope about the situation with him. He goes, and this whore of the king, has not anyone thought of just getting rid of her? And I love this line.
So matter of fact.
And I love the way he just said it. This is the Pope, but he's just like, just kill her. That's just awesome. Kill her. And you understand, Peter O'Toole is such a brilliant actor. That his line delivery. And I sat there and I just kept rewinding because I love that moment. I'm like, exactly. And that's my feeling with Nurse Gale. Can somebody just kill her already?
I wish.
She's annoying.
I wish.
She's annoying.
Didn't we have on our blog a list of people that they wanted the Satin Slayer to kill?
All right, let's do it. Adam, Kobe, Nurse Gale.
Randy.
Jamie Luner of Melrose Place.
Randy.
Randy. Natalia.
And I want him to resuscitate Dixie and Brooke.
Well, guess what?
What?
He didn't kill Dixie.
I'm so stupid. I can't talk about it. Please do not make me
talk
about it.
That was some amateur.
I have 2 minutes of all my children left in me, and then I'm cooked, done, finished, right, kaput.
Finish up. What else are we talking about?
David and Crystal.
Must we?
Do we want to talk about Mirabella?
Mirabella Carey.
What's her real name on the show?
Marissa. But we're calling her Mirabella, so all you know, she's Arabella's twin sister, Mirabella.
That looks nothing like her.
It looks like, well, you know what it is? I bet you anything they were trying to get Alexa back. I bet you anything.
You think, and they failed.
Would you come back with the show in the state that it's in?
Hell no.
I think that's why half the people don't want to come back, because they realize what a...
That's why Rebecca left. It's a hot mess.
Exactly. The show's a hot mess. Pratt has made the... I bet you anything. I bet they even tried to get Amanda Baker back. And she was like, hell no. I'm glad I got out.
I honestly cannot believe that Thorsten and Alicia came back. I really can't. I find out. They must have offered them the right arm.
I'll say this. In this economy, the way it is, especially now with, like, not even the soaps, but even nighttime shows are in danger of getting canceled because... they're too expensive.
But if anybody can leave a show and get work again, it's both Thorsten and Alicia.
See, but you can't... All right, let me...
Yes, I can. Elizabeth Hendrickson and Special Johnny are both gangbusters right now on different shows.
But Special Johnny's show got canceled.
That's true.
What I'm saying, with Alicia, I could see why she came back so much. She has a great role. She's a lead character. With Thorsten, it doesn't make any sense. Because for me, if I was him, I would have gone back to One Night to Live. Because I'm sure One Night to Live would take him in a minute.
He says they weren't offering.
I doubt that.
All right, I got to get this over with. I got to talk about One Life to Live. All right. So I did like, okay, for you people who are counting, another thing to take note of. I like that Marissa was a massage therapist, quote unquote. And I like that.
I can't call her Marissa. It's Mirabella.
Mirabella was entertaining. Not even so much Mirabella, but her boss was entertaining.
Oh, the queen? Like,
the queen guy. Ooh,
I really he was him. Shitty queen. I liked him too. Yes. He was funny.
I liked him. And I like when Crystal finds a way, because she was going to have to wait like 90 minutes to see, you know, Mirabella. And so she uses some line about having to go to the bathroom, and she peeks into all the rooms, and she goes into one room, and there's this huge, giant, fat guy. And Mirabella sees, you know, Crystal, and she stops, obviously. And the guy goes, "Hey, lady. I still got one more itch I need scratched." I liked it.
It was cute. It was cute. Really, it was very old school on my children. I will say that. Reminded me of when they used to go to Center Cities and Foxy.
Yes,
and stuff like that.
I love that. I remember when our innocent little Jenny had to wear that Fox outfit. Shit.
And Kindleaney was definitely Foxy.
And she was incredible, but she was so uncomfortable in that outfit. Oh, and men would touch her everywhere. And she was like a good girl, you know. Mm-hmm. Just doing what she had to do to survive. Mm. You know, like nowadays on All My Children, you wouldn't see a storyline like that. You would see, you know, it would just be ridiculous.
Look at now. Mirabella's not going to have to work a day in her life now.
Oh, yeah. She's rich. Exactly. She's rich.
She's the daughter of David Hayward, millionaire.
Okay. Well, I liked when Crystal told Mirabella.
I'm David Hayward, multimillionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Again. It's like that Bugs Bunny episode.
Yes, I love that. I like when Crystal told Marissa that Babe had died in the tornadoes.
And she was like, who?
She's like, you know, my daughter Babe died saving her son. She bled to death from her ass to save her son. I thought that was a very touching moment. Very touching. And then the queen boss comes back in. And he looks at Crystal. He goes, "Who are you, bitch? The etiquette police?" I love it. So those things, I love people. I really like those things.
And I like Mirabella.
But here's what I hated. And this is what I think you would hate too.
What?
They get arrested? When the F did that happen?
Yeah, it was a little bit over the top.
When the F did that happen? Did we see it?
Yeah.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. We saw when the cops said it's a raid. Yeah, you must have fell asleep.
I fell asleep.
No, you did.
Oh my god, I keep zoning out.
I just think it was so far-fetched that of course the cops would raid the place when Quack was there visiting Mirabella. I mean, that was a little bit like hard to swallow, but it was cute.
And those two ungrateful girls.
I know, they didn't even say thank you.
I would have liked to see like...
They didn't even say thank you that Crystal got them all out.
They were like pretty white girls. I would have liked to see some more edgy characters. That would have been fun for me.
Some more stereotypes?
No, but more fun characters.
I don't know. All I know is that I like Mirabella. I don't know if it's because I'm so over the bad actresses that they've been bringing on the show, like Randy and Kobe, that to me she seems like Meryl Streep. But I like her. I don't know. I like her. And I like her with Beaker. They're my new, like,
all right, young fine. I don't even care. I'm not talking about it.
I like the scenes with her and JR and Beaker.
Well, what I didn't like, which I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to figure out if it's really consistent with Angela. Angela sort of defending David and telling Crystal basically to go back.
No, that was stupid. That was dumb.
All right, fine.
That was dumb. No, that made no sense. I sat there and I agree with Tad. I was like, what are you talking about, Angie?
She goes back to him.
Yeah.
Crystal just goes back to David.
Because Tad tells her that yeah, it just...
So stupid. We're supposed to all believe that David really loves her and blah, blah, blah. And I guess I do, but I don't care. That's the problem. I don't
care. But she has this other daughter that she does not tell David about.
But no. She's about to tell him everything. And he says, no, it doesn't matter. And they go to make love. And then the actual daughter comes. And then she doesn't tell him. Then she starts lying again. How does this make any sense?
Oh, no. I will say this.
What? Is it a nice thing?
She looks like they could be their daughter.
It's almost annoying how obvious it is, though, because they're so exactly alike.
No, but
I buy
her as the actress more as their daughter than I ever bought Alexa Havens. Or,
of course.
Alexa Havens looked like Bobby Eakes.
In the face. Had that as cute as a button.
They look like mother and daughter. But I never
could. And you could buy it because one maybe dyed her hair,
I never bought Alexa Havens as Vincent and Reserve's daughter. Amanda Baker didn't look like either one of them. But this one looks like she could be the love child of those two.
Well, she is, obviously.
She has, her eyes kind of remind me of Vincent and Reserve.
Well, she is.
And then, I mean, as you pointed out, her hair is like identical to Bobby Eaton.
Identical.
To hair number 8 being cut at an angle. Yeah, it's like identical.
Why can't she be trailer trash? I don't understand. It sounds like her parents were like very sort of Midwestern religious. Why can't she be trailer trash? Well, why does she have to be so coiffed?
She had to give it to people that have money.
Oh, you're right. Okay, that's fine.
She got rid of her that way.
She sold her?
Yeah, she said.
That's a spoiler. You just
blew it. Oh, I'm so sorry.
You just blew it. We're in trouble now. Too late now.
Too late, spoiler alert.
Too late, but you know
what?
She popped
it out. She said, I only need one. Let me get rid of the other on eBay.
He cracks himself up. Can we move on, please?
You go on eBay, little white baby girl for sale. Oh, Crystal, you crack me up.
Oh, Jordan, you're too much. He's the best laugh on all of the internet, don't you think?
Oh, God.
Don't you want to talk about One Life to Live?
No, I got to talk about this real quick.
All right.
About all my children, because this affects all my children. This is, again, the new Soap Opera Digest, Hinsey. April 28th. Carol Hinsey, who I usually
Isn't
don't
Soap
have.
Soap Opera Digest filing for bankruptcy?
I know, that's according to our friends at Daytime Confidential, Jamie. This is an article about Guiding Light and the cancellation. I'm not going to get into the cancellation of Guiding Light, but there's something that she said that I really need. If Chuck Pratt actually listens to our podcast, he needs to hear this. She says, the late, great Doug Marlin, that's the head writer, the last job was As the World Turns, he turned it around, made As the World Turns really popular, who wrote for Guiding Light in the 80s, once told me, if the audience says, that character would never do that, then you have failed. You have failed miserably, Chuck Pratt, because all we keep saying is, that character would never do that, and that, and that. And that, and that, and that, and also that.
It's also what you said a few months back about the EW article that you read. You do not sacrifice character to advance plot.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that as a writer, you have failed. Failed. Miserably, as Jordan astutely put it. Now let's talk about some writers who know what the F they're doing.
Well, I thought it was hot this week.
All right, people. You got 10 minutes. Advance it forward at least 10, God. Maybe 15. If you don't watch One Life to Live, God. If you don't like it, forward it. 10, 15 Tough minutes. Luck. We're talking.
All right. First of all, John got arrested for Talia's murder.
We know he didn't
do it. We know he didn't do it, supposedly, hopefully. You never know, the writers could surprise. But they're
trying to accuse him for being the serial killer, period.
Yeah, this is turning into a big mystery. Killing everybody. But with him getting arrested, that means that Todd has the option to go to the judge and say, hey, the guy that you're putting in charge of my children is in jail for murder.
By the way, just arrested for murder. Anyone?
Yeah,
anyone?
So like, yeah, anyone care? Like, I want my kids back. So Taya, of course, finds out and she tries to stop Todd. And how does she do it? By jumping his bones.
In what had the courtroom.
What had to be one of the hottest scenes around.
I was screaming at the television.
She kissed him and then he turned her around and bent her over the table.
So I thought he was going to have total doggy style.
That was hot monkey sex. I was like,
it was doggy style. And then he flips her around and the camera's from the top and you see her skirt hiked all the way up and her little legs sticking out.
She turns him around and throws him on the table and starts climbing on top of him.
But then he flips her and she don't like that. So she lifts, she pushes him away, looks at him with a smile and slaps the shit out of him.
And all I could say is, Valencia, you could slap me, girl, whenever you want, anywhere you want.
She knew that slap would turn him on and it did. He loved it and they just went
at it. And let me tell you something. I have always wanted to have... I've had so many fantasies about having sex with her. And now, after seeing that scene, I really want to have sex with her so bad.
There's no way. She is one of the hot...
She must be so hot in bed, let me tell
I'm
you.
I'm telling you. She's a little Latina spitfire.
I love me a little slap and tickle once in a while. Let me tell you, that was hot. That was hot. I was like, oh my God. And then the best thing was, who busts in on them as they're cleaning up?
I got the chill.
Marty was it. And Marty's like... Ew.
She's like, ew.
And Terry loved that. Terry pointed that on the blog. Terry loved Toronto. She loved the fact that people had sex that shouldn't have. And they got busted and called it. Because, you know, that never happens on All My Children.
Yeah.
And All My Children, it's okay that you accidentally fell into her vagina.
But it was a little funny because Taya kept having trouble with her dress.
Yes.
She couldn't get it back up. And then, listen, this is how good the show is. I never even watched this show for more than 6 months at this point. Uh-huh. But I do remember in all of the commercials, because I'm such a loyal All My Children fan, I do remember some of the characters from all the commercials, and I do remember Randall Jones.
Yes, RJ Gannon.
All of a sudden, she's trying to pull up that thing. She hears his voice, and she turns around, and she's like, RJ Gannon. And he, and I was like, I cheered. I went, woo! Because it was just so unexpected and so awesome. I love it.
So people were saying that they were announcing it everywhere. I gotta say, I never read anywhere. I did not know. I was shocked and flabbergasted, and I loved it because RJ is, you know, Debbie Morgan has said it many, many times that the problem with soaps is that they never know how to write characters of colors. They always write them that they're either like saints or crackheads. They're always one extreme or the other. You never have like a black Erica Kane. And she's absolutely right. And the thing that I loved about RJ's character was that his brother Hank, who is Nora's ex-husband, was the DA. He's the good guy. And this brother, he wasn't necessarily evil, but he wasn't necessarily good. He had color to him. He was a guy whose heart was kind of in the right place at times, but he was a bad boy.
He was actually three-dimensional.
Yes, very three-dimensional.
Believe it or not, three-dimensional character.
Yeah, so I love me some RJ. And the thing is, RJ has history in the show. Him and Taya used to be involved, and Todd did not like that, and Todd did try to kill him. So all those scenes between RJ, Taya, and Todd getting jealous, that was hot.
Loved it.
That was hot stuff. Loved it. Because when she was involved with RJ, Todd tried to kill RJ, and Todd grabbed Taya and took her out of town when Florencia left the first time the show. That's how they got rid of her. Roger had already been off the show. He came back and just whisked her away. So all of this makes total sense, and I love that Todd and Taya are finally doing it, because as far as I'm concerned, they're each other's real soulmates. They get each other. As much as it's a sick, twisted relationship, they didn't understand
each
other.
That was just going to be my point. This is not a healthy relationship.
I never know, honey. I never said
this
it was
is
a healthy
sick,
relationship.
Twisted one I that never, just look, drives you crazy and
never,
drives you to drink and do drugs.
I
all
never
that stuff.
Look. I never said it was a healthy relationship. But what I'm saying is, You're talking about two people who are very damaged individuals.
But I think they're meant not to be together because they're so damaged together. No, do you know what I mean? I'm just saying, listen, in the real world, you don't want to marry this guy and you don't want to marry this girl because in the real world, you will always be devastatingly devastated.
Yeah, but in the real world...
But soap world, but great.
No, I disagree with you. I think that's why so many people in the real world are either single or in an unhappy relationship is because you settle... And you don't, you know, follow your passion. Like, look, I'm not saying that they are going to have a healthy, long-lasting relationship. I'm just saying that they get each other.
Every woman I know that has gotten married has married after the Todd, after the Taya. The calm guy, the nice guy who took care of them, who was dependable.
She's had some good guys come after her, and she doesn't want
it's a soap. That. I don't want her to get the good guy. I'm saying for the soap, it works. I'm saying for real life.
I'm single at my age.
All right, listen. Here's the thing, though.
They're hot.
Gigi, Rex, and Stacy storyline sucks.
I love it. We're not the only person. I think there's two other people.
Know anybody. Louis 2K is on my side.
Everybody sees to be on your side of the block. I like Stacy. I'm sorry.
It's not liking Stacy. There's too many goddamn holes in the storyline. I don't like it.
Wait, what about Roxy going to visit the father drunk? Oh, that was, and that nurse. I love that nurse. She was great. That nurse was so great. Yes, she was.
Look, it's entertaining, but there's too many damn holes in it.
Wait, for those of you who didn't watch, but Roxy came to she was celebrating the fact that, like, the bro battle took, and she got liquored up and wasted, and she went to go visit Rex's father, and she was cursing him to all hell, drunk and slurring her words, and his hand grabbed up and choked her. I was on the floor. And then she, of course, was fighting him off, and the nurse comes in, and the nurse is like, totally, like, thinking that Roxy's insane. After the scene, the dialogue, everything was great. Look, I understand what you guys are saying about Roxy storyline. I'm not saying that the storyline is flawless or perfect. What I'm saying is it's entertaining to me.
Okay.
I find it entertaining, more entertaining than a satin slayer running around town killing people for no reason.
Yeah.
I look at things in that kind of perspective. Is it perfect? No. But then you know what? I also don't like Gigi. So you know what? That makes me like Stacy even more because I can't stand Gigi.
I don't mind Gigi.
I like Stacy with Mr. J. I do too.
I
like the fact that he loves her.
That's my phone ringing.
That's her phone.
Just ignore it.
I like the fact that he loves her enough that he's willing to shout, because that's how you know somebody loves you, when they're able to call you on your bullshit and they're looking out for your best interest. Because he knows he's not going to get her. He knows that she's obsessed and in love with Rex, but that's not the point. The point is that
he's not looking out for her best interests. He's not. He's pissed off at her. He's sick of her shit. Did you see today's episode yet? No. Or yesterday's? Monday's. Did you say Monday's episode?
Yeah, but it's because he loves her. If he didn't care about her, he wouldn't even be bothered.
He's pissed off at her. I know, she's in love with Rex. He doesn't get it.
He's pissed off he wants he Rex loves to know her.
What a piece of crap she is.
He loves her.
Of course, I agree with that. But he's not looking out for her best interest. He's not like, okay, we're going to help you out here. No, he's pissed off. He's like, this woman's being a shithead.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You're calling her on her bullshit.
Yeah, but he's not looking out for her best interest. He's just trying to be, he's her a little, he's being her best interest is for her to do
the right thing. No, I don't think so.
He's being a little bit. I don't blame him. He's a well-rounded young man. He's
new favorite character, Rachel.
She's good.
Rachel had some hot scenes this week.
A little bit bordering on an unacceptable thing that she did.
I don't think so.
By giving Cole a free pass?
No, I disagree with you. I think
she gave him a free pass.
No, but she explained why she did it because her mother found out. Her mother found out because Crazy Lola.
She's an addict. She knows you can't give an addict a free pass in a rehab program. No, but
she is determined. She's wrong. Listen to me. She's a woman on a mission. She's been through it. She's determined to help this guy out. She knows what it's like. I found it totally believable what she did. I really did.
What about Cole's, you know, stay as you please rehab?
That's a little bit insane.
Come and go as you please.
I've been thinking about that in my too. It's like, how is he in rehab? Yeah, he can come and go and get drugs whenever he wants. He's always out.
But people, this is leading to some of the best, I have a feeling from the promo, some of the best acting that Cole and Star are going to do.
I know. But Lola, I cannot believe they're getting rid of Lola now that she's great. She is a nut job and a half.
She's doing good stuff, people.
And she is such a biatch. She reminded me of young Erica Kane.
Absolutely.
When young Erica Kane went to Tara and Philip, the original star-crossed lovers, and she told Philip, you're adopted.
Yeah.
Like, if nothing, like that. That's the kind of thing that Lola was doing. Just going in there saying, I am doing this for his best interest, but, like, you know, he had his friend Marco, like, pee for him. Like, I was like, she did not just do that.
She did.
And then when she didn't get the results that she wanted, she went back and she got in Rachel's face. And she's like,
I like that her father's on to her.
Oh, I love those scenes. That's what I love about
it. In any other stupid soap, it'd be so two-dimensional. It'd be the dad defending his daughter.
No, he knows. He knows. She's up to no good. He knows. He's putting her on it. And all those scenes with him and Dorian and Langston and them confronting, all good.
And David.
Oh, and David. How hot was that? That David came back and busted up.
I'm sad.
And it was a very, but it was a very an adult breakup for the two of them. And I like that. I like the fact that it was an adult breakup. They just admitted. I like
them together so much.
I know, but you know what? I like her and Ray just as much, if not more so.
But he's leaving too. What the fuck are they going to do with her? Everybody's leaving her. Makes
no sense. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're going to get rid of her.
You know what? She's old.
Maybe it's because she's old. They're going to get rid of her. Because
Brian Franz doesn't think she's sexy. Yeah, meanwhile, she's one of the hottest things on daytime television.
Let me tell you, she is. Robin Strauss is one hot piece of.
She's so great. I adore her.
And let me tell you, it's not just on the show. She's dated younger men before in real life. She used to date David Beecroft.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love
her and
I love
David
it.
Beecroft were together in real life. And let me tell you something. David Beecroft's a hot... You all know David Beecroft. He used to be on All My Children for a little bit.
I don't remember
when Brooke was involved with the priest who wound up supposedly being the guy that ran over his daughter? That was David Beecroft. That hot, tall drink of water. Mm. And Robin Strasser had that in real life.
Who else we got?
We talked about my Rachel that I love. I love the scenes with her and Nora.
Oh, we gotta mention one thing.
What?
John McBain on the run, going to see Blair.
See, I'm gonna tell you, and I was telling Ashley this on the phone.
Tell them what happened. Tell them what happened.
He's on the run. He Antonio knows that John did not kill Tali, even though the mayor is like gun ho on trying to like
and talk about Antonio's reaction and Layla's reaction. Okay,
first of all, Antonio. I have never been a Kamar De La Reyes fan.
He's always harshing on him.
I hate him.
I like him.
I hate him.
I like him.
But I never said that the man can't act. He was good. His brother, the model, can't act.
When he found out Tali was killed.
When he found out Tali was killed, they brought him back to town. He showed up. Unlike on All My Children, when people die and nobody comes to visit them. He came. He saw the body. He was excellent. He cried.
He cried his eyes out.
This line where he said, "How can I say goodbye to my heart, to my soul," or something like that. I don't know if it was heart or soul.
They never really had chemistry. But you say that, but that's not
the point. The point is that this is still his woman, yes, and she's dead.
Absolutely,
it was brilliant. Layla's reaction. Look, I've always thought Tika was a great actress. I just think Ron C never gives. Ron C just doesn't give her anything. That's the only problem that I have with Ron C right now.
He made her say to her on the phone. She left a voicemail for Talia.
She's like, if you're late, I'm gonna kill you.
Because she hadn't shown up and she died.
Yeah.
And when she found out.
And her first reaction when Christian told her was the disbelief. Like, she did not believe it. She didn't want to, like,
That reaction myself.
I don't believe it
in real life. In real life, if someone tells you die, you don't ever say, I don't believe it.
I liked it. And then she came back and she was bawling her eyes out. She didn't go to Antonio and, like, trip and fell on his penis. No.
No,
she mourned her friend.
And she watched videos with him.
And she watched videos with Christian about her. Nice. It was very... And she just not... Tika, and I love you, girl.
And
tear
was so real and just I pouring love you. Out of her
exactly.
face.
Exactly, Brianna Mongrief. Learn and watch. My God, watch
so
and
good.
Learn.
It was so good.
It was really good stuff.
Then we
got to
talk about leading into... So everyone thinks it's John McBain.
And he helps John McBain... Yeah, and Antonio helps John escape. John goes on the run.
He knows that
he gets his brother to get him in there to see Blair. Him and Blair have this conversation where he tells Blair what he has to do. And she's like, you got it. And she goes, no, you do what you got to do. She goes, and then you come back to me. I know that this marriage isn't real. And before she could even finish it,
he
grabs her and kisses her like a man should kiss a woman. Like a woman should kiss a woman. Like a man should kiss a man. And I wish somebody would kiss me like that because that was hot.
Oprah Winfrey.
That was hot.
Dr. Laura Berman, the sex therapist on Oprah Winfrey, said that every day a man and a woman in a relationship should have a 10-second rule. They have to have at least one 10-second kiss. This kiss was like, oh my God. I could have watched them kiss for a minute. And I wouldn't have been bored.
The way he did it, like, she was at mid-sentence because, you know, she kind of has this feeling that the only reason he married her was for the kids and that it's not a real marriage. And he just shut her up, like, woman,
But I told Jordan I'm so confused by it because he has an attraction to Marty. So what is going on
here?
Because I really like him with Blair.
I like him with Blair, too.
Because Blair still, what's so brilliant about Ron Carlovati writing Blair right now is that she, and we've said it before, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, people, or talking over Jordan. Excuse me. What's so beautiful about Blair is that she is grown and developed as a woman. She was a little brat when she was younger. But you still get a taste of that. Just like with Erica Kane, once in a while, we see a glimpse of real Erica Kane. All the time, you see little glimpses of real Blair. She gets pouty. She gets pissy. She gets competitive. She gets jealous. And I love it. And I love the fact that she can be so adult with him, but still, there are times where she's true to herself. And he just seems, he's so quiet and so straight-laced. He just seems kind of tickled by it.
Yeah, they're a good pair because they're very opposite. He's very quiet and she's very out there. It's I would hate for them to break them up to put him with Marty because I do that. But I think for his character, I think that he loves both women. I think I didn't watch Wanted to Live when the other Marty was there. So I don't know if her and John ever consummated their relationship sexually. I know that before she supposedly died, that they were falling in love with him. I don't know if they did the deed. But I think that there definitely is some unresolved feelings there, but he cannot deny the fact that he has something with Blair. I mean, there and as far as I'm concerned, what you have with Blair is a lot hotter. That's the kind of thing that gets under your skin in a good way.
I like it too.
Like, I love them
together. And Marty's got so much potential with anybody else there. So, and who knows if she's even going to stick around that long. Is she going to stick around that long?
Who, Susan Haskins?
Is she around?
No, I think she's back. Right. I gotta say, One Life to Live is definitely like, I gotta say, Ashley, I mean, we've been disagreeing about All My Children. She actually has not been liking All My Children. I gotta tell you, the last 3 weeks of All My Children, for some reason, I found watchable. I can honestly say that. Like, I wasn't, you know, before it was like a real, real chore. And it's still a chore at times, but not as much. And I will say this, As the World Turns sucks so much right now that they get my nomination as the worst soap that I watch. Because,
well, then we ain't talking about them.
No, I'm just saying, I find myself actually, like, being able to sit through All My Children without wanting to hurl. And As the World Turns is just unbearable to watch. It was the way I felt about All My Children a few weeks back. So it's just, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just saying I'm gonna miss My Guiding Light. The more we closer we get to the end, it's so unfair.
All right, people, well, you heard it here. You heard our astute opinions for 110 hours. So if you would like to give us your astute opinions, you can write us pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com or just go to the blog site because it's rocking.
Yeah, the blog is hopping.
Oh, it's so good. So go to www.pinevalleypodcast.com and then click onto the blog site. Definitely go to our Facebook page because we love Facebook and we hate MySpace. No more MySpace, it sucks. Go to www.facebook.com, look up Pine Valley Podcast, or look up me, Ashley Mendoza, and that way you could talk to me because I love talking to you. Special thanks to our good friends at Daytime Confidential, www.daytimeconfidential.com. Also, big, big, big kudos to Mr. Super Poster, who will give you all the spoilers you want at daytimeconfidential.com. Go to his AMC Super Poster spoiler page or just go to www.myspace.com/Super Poster of the Year. Finally, thank you to Louis2K. Not only does he do our amazing openings, did you see that animated thing he did of us?
No.
You didn't see it?
Where?
He did like a pratfalls type thing of us with one of our openings.
Oh, yeah, that I did see.
Wasn't that awesome?
I was bizarre. I have a blonde. I'm blonde with a mustache.
Yeah, you look fun. But I love how I look.
We didn't talk about Brody and Jessica.
Oh, they're hot. Just, that's all you got to say. They're smoking hot.
I want more scenes without his
smoking
shirt
hot. They're coming up. They're coming up, baby. They're coming up. So anyway, thank you to all you people for listening. We love you so much. Sorry to
be. I love you, Luke McFarlane. I'm putting it out there and maybe it'll happen.
One of these days.
I love you, Luke McFarlane.
Have a chance encounter. All right, people. Well, thank you so much for listening. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
I know you can do it. It would make my pa so happy and me too. I'm right up here by the big fire. So please, God, answer me. Amen.
Thank you. go, child.
Let me go.
No.
I don't want Pa to find me until God answers.
He has answered.
No, he hasn't.
He has answered, and he's made his decision. That's why he sent your Pa. He wants you to be with your Pa and your brother to be with him.
That isn't what I wanted. Pa wants a son.
No, child. That's what you thought he wanted. Only God knows best about these things. That's why he sent your Pa here. Because he knows that your Pa loves you and needs you. How else could your father have found you?
How can you be sure?
He told me, child. Go to him, Laura.
You needed Charles more than me.
How could you think that?
I just did.
I'm sorry.